Hello friends, welcome to VSchool. We are on chapter 9, the penultimate chapter of this book, Introduction to Non-Life Insurance. Remember, we had classified insurance into three main arms: the life insurance, the non-life insurance, and the popular standalone insurance growing in the form of health insurance. In this chapter, we are going to discuss more details on non-life insurance, and in the next chapter, that is chapter 10, that is exclusively kept for health insurance. When we talk about non-life insurance, the insurance is for the assets which doesn't have life. That's the way we classify life insurance and non-life insurance. This chapter will help you understand general, which is another way of calling non-life insurance. We'll understand the products, we'll cover various risks and how they compensate the owners. We'll classify non-life insurance into various categories and see how each is useful. In the later slides, we'll also see the basic difference between life insurance and non-life insurance that will give you clarity about these two main branches of insurance in various aspects. So let's first start with the concept of life insurance. Generally, the insurance covers risk, and non-life covers risk other than human lives. Life insurance covers risk of human lives. Non-life insurance provides financial protection against losses or damages to property, health, liability, and other risks which do not fall under life insurance. Now, if we want to describe or define general insurance business, then we have Insurance Act of 1938. It says general insurance business means fire, marine or miscellaneous insurance business which carried on singly or in combination with one or more of them. Now, when we talk of categories of non-life insurance, the primary categories include marine, fire, and motor, whereas other than this, we include them in the miscellaneous non-life insurance, which includes the property, liability, travel, rural, social security, and health insurance. Now let's look at the fundamental principles. When we talk about fundamental principles, whatever we discussed about life insurance, more or less they are the same, except certain specific fundamentals which are essentials of a general insurance. Now, when we talk about the fundamental principles of insurer law, that is utmost good faith, insurable interest, subject matter, risk covered, indemnity, subrogation, proximate cause, assignment, they are more or less applicable to general insurance also. The fundamental insurance of a general insurance contract are same, except a few specifically applied to general insurance. For example, a life insurance contract is a contract of assurance. Remember, we don't have a fixed price as MRP. This price is determined based on the human life value. While a general insurance contract is a contract of indemnity, this covers the loss that would be caused because of a certain asset being destroyed or damaged. So that price of the asset covers the compensation, or the insurance company covers the loss for that value of that asset. Now, what is the proposal form and the nature of questions that can be asked in a non-life or a general insurance? The proposal form and the number of questions may vary according to the category, because here we don't have just life insurance, we have different categories of non-life. For example, simple and standard forms could be used for residential fire risk, while a special questions could be asked for risk covering large industrial houses, because various angles needs to be looked into. The motor insurance proposal form could cover questions about the vehicle, like its operations, make, driver, and carrying capacity, whereas health insurance, personal accident, travel proposal form could include questions about the proposer's health, lifestyle, habits, medical history, and past insurance experience. Now, one unique concept in non-life insurance is the cover note, which is insurer could issue a cover note after underwriting is complete, but before the policy. Now, this is a simplified document that provides essential information about the coverage and established evidence. It's valid for limited periods. So, of course, sometimes we need something which establishes the fact that that asset is insured or in the process of insuring. A cover note provides provisional insurance coverage and immediate protection, especially when purchasing a vehicle and needing to drive it immediately. It may have special clauses and is subject to certain warranties or conditions. A general insurance policy should state certain essentials like name and address of the insured, UIN of the product, name, code number, contact details of the person involved in the sales process, full description of the property insured, location of the property insured, period of insurance, sums insured, perils covered and not covered, any franchise or deductible applicable, premium payable, policy terms, conditions, warranties, exclusions, if any. A general insurance policy should also state the action to be taken by the insured upon occurrence of a contingency, especially keeping in mind the loss minimization insurance principle, obligations of the insured in relation to the subject matter of the insurance, any special conditions attaching to the policy, and the grounds for cancellation of the policy. So here, the insured should be very careful in understanding this particular clauses of the general insurance policy. A general insurance policy should also state the address of the insurer to which all communication in respect of the insurance contract should be sent, especially when there is some mishap. Immediate intimation has to be sent, so that address should be very clear in the mind of the insured. Details of the endorsement, add-on covers attaching to the main policy, benefits provided in the policy and renewal, details of the insurer's internal grievance redressal mechanism should also be stated in the general insurance policy. Now, let's take a quick look at how this non-life insurance evolved in India. It dates back to centuries, means it's not just an origin of the recent past. It has been evolved since the ancient times. When we talk about ancient times, it can be traced to ancient civilizations where merchants sought to protect their goods during the trade. It originated from the sea trade and commerce in the 17th century. It covered risk of damage or destruction due to fire, flood, storm, theft, cyclone, etc. Evolution of non-life insurance has clear trace of marine insurance, which began developing in various cities. When once it started in Venice, Genoa, and Pisa during the 12th century, however, in India, it started along the coastal regions. Fire insurance began offering its services with the Great Fire of London in 1666. Slowly, it percolated down to India also. Accidental insurance was available in the late 19th century. When we talk about general insurance company in India, Triton Insurance Company is the first general insurance company promoted by the British in 1850 in Calcutta. India Mercantile Insurance Company was established in 1907 with significant development in the general insurance sector in India, and that was followed by nationalization of general insurance in India in 1972, specifically for all sectors of the Indian economy to access the general insurance, which was available only for the elite under the private sector. Hence, nationalization was a very important step. IRDAI opened up the general insurance market also in August 2000 for private insurance market once again after the nationalization scene. Public and private general insurers have provided a wide range of general insurance products based on the convenience and the needs of the customers. Now, let's look at a quick framework, regulatory framework of IRDAI. The IRDAI has also played a very important role in general insurance sector. It fosters a healthy and competitive insurance market, encouraging innovation and expansion. Its primary focus is on fair treatment of policyholders and orderly growth and stability of the insurance industry. The key regulations and functions of IRDAI are, number one, supervision. Insurance sectors operate efficiently, ethically, and in the best interest of the policyholders. Financial oversight, it monitors the capital and solvency of insurance companies. Licensing and registration, it grants licenses to general insurance companies and insurance intermediaries. Policy formulations, it have guidelines to govern various aspects of the insurance sector. Setting standards, the code of conduct for insurance intermediaries, surveyors are set by IRDAI. General insurance companies must obtain the IRDAI approval for their insurance products. The IRDAI also regulates premium rates for certain type of general insurance to prevent unfair pricing. It also promotes healthy competition to improve the quality of policy or the services and products. When we talk in terms of promoting digitization, it encourages digitization to enhance the efficiency, transparency, and convenience. It also encourages innovation and growth to meet the evolving needs of policyholders, insurers, and the market. And when it comes to grievance redressal, it has its special platform for policyholders to directly lodge a complaint with them to facilitate dispute resolution. Now, let us categorize the non-life insurance policies. The primary categories, as we saw, include the marine, fire, and motor. The miscellaneous insurance covers risks not covered under the standard categories, and it covers property, liability, travel, rural and social security, and health insurance. So what is the basic difference between retail and commercial insurance, which is very important to know? Because when we talk in terms of general insurance, it is largely required by businesses also, and hence we need to differentiate retail insurance. The target customers are generally individuals, families, and small business owners. Whereas when we talk to commercial insurance, the target customers are large businesses, industries, and corporations. The purpose for retail insurance is protection of personal assets like home, vehicle, health, small shops. Whereas in case of commercial insurance, the purpose is protection of business assets, operations, liabilities, and employees. When we talk in terms of risk exposure, it is lower in case of retail insurance. It is definitely higher in case of commercial insurance. When we talk in terms of underwriting, it is simplified, quick in case of retail insurance. When we talk in terms of commercial insurance, it is detailed underwriting, requires risk assessment. When we talk in terms of policy, it is very simple and standardized in case of retail insurance. In case of commercial insurance, it is customized based on the business needs. So businesses find it's very useful to cover different types of assets. When you talk in terms of sum insured, it's usually in lakhs to a few crores. However, in case of commercial insurance, it is typically in crores to billions. When you talk in terms of pricing, it is more or less standardized. However, in case of commercial insurance, the pricing varies based on industry, location, and risk assessment. When we talk in terms of premium costs, it is lower and affordable for individuals. In case of commercial insurance, it can be higher due to the large risk exposure. So when we talk examples of retail insurance, we can give a plenty, like home, marine, shop insurance, personal accident, travel insurance, insurance for small business like shops, householders policy, housebreaking, packaging, machinery breakdown, loss of baggage, while on travel or official purpose, accidental loss of damage or fixed plates or glass, neon signs, and the list can be more and more. When we want to understand some examples of commercial insurance, it can be fire, property, boiler explosion, electronic breakdown, marine insurance, liability insurance, business interruption, employee benefits, burglary, guarantee, fidelity guarantee, money insurance, bankers indemnity, jeweler block, engineering insurance, marine insurance, contract, plant and machinery, deterioration of stock, and so on. So lots of examples can be included in retail and commercial insurance based on the product design and the usefulness to the target customers. Now let's talk about each type of insurance in more detail. First, we take up the marine insurance. Marine insurance took birth with the expansion of sea trade right from the Middle Ages in Europe. Laws and customs emerged from the Lloyd's Coffee House in London in the 16th century by the merchants engaged in sea trade who gathered to discuss their mutual arrangement to deal with the risk at high trade, and later the Aryan period in India also provided evidence of the existence of marine insurance in India. Marine insurance in its modern form originated in India between 1797 and 1810 in Calcutta, now Kolkata, and Marine Insurance Act of 1963 regulates the marine insurance in India. Now, we'll quickly go through certain sections of Marine Insurance Act 1963, which talks about specific terms used in marine insurance. When we talk about a contract of marine insurance, it's an agreement whereby the insurer takes to indemnify the insurer in the manner and to the extent thereby agreed against marine losses, that is to say the losses incidental to the marine adventure. When you talk about Section 2, Subsection D of the Marine Insurance Act 1963, it's marine adventure, which includes any insured property is exposed to maritime perils, the earnings or acquisition of any freight, passage money, commission, profit, or other pecuniary benefit, or the security for any advances, loans, or disbursement is endangered by the exposure of insured property to the maritime perils. Any liability to a third party may be incurred by the owner of or other person interested or responsible insured property by reason of maritime perils could also cover marine adventure. Let's look at what maritime perils means. Section 2, Subsection U of Marine Insurance Act 1963 means a perils consequent on or incidental to the navigation of the sea, that is to say perils of sea, fire, war, perils, pirates, robbers, thieves, captures, seizures, restraints, and detainments of princes and people, jettisons, barratry, and any other perils which are either of the like kind or may designate a policy. These are simple definitions which are self-explanatory, but it's very important to note that when you want to dive deeper into marine insurance. Section 4, Subsection 1 of Marine Insurance Act says mixed sea and land perils. A contract of marine insurance may, by its express terms or by its usage of trade, be extended so as to protect the insured against the losses on inland waters or any other land risk which be incidental to and any sea voyage. Next, we have Section 6 of the Marine Insurance Act 1963, avoidance of wagering contracts. A wagering contract is very, very crucial. Every contract marine insured by way of wagering is void. A contract marine insured void is deemed to be wagering when the assured has not an insurable interest as defined and the contract is entered into with no expectation of acquiring such an interest, or where the policy is made interest or no interest or without further proof of interest, then the policy itself or without benefit of salvage the insurer subject to either like would be covered under the wagering contract. And most important part of this section is, provided that there is no possibility of salvage, a policy may be affected without benefit of salvage to the insurer. So these specific points needs to be understood when we talk about wagering contracts. Next, we move to Section 2, Subsection 13, Clause A of the Insurance Act 1938, which talks about the marine insurance business, that is business affecting contracts of insurance upon vessels of any description, including cargoes, freights, and other interests which will be legally insured in or relation to such vessels, cargoes and freights, goods, wares, merchandise and properties, whatever description insured for in transit by land or water or both, and whether or not including warehouse risk or similar risk in addition or incidental such transits, and include any the risk customarily, including among risks insured against in marine insurance policy. So these are more or less related with marine line of business. Next important definition comes to insurable interest, Section 7 of Marine Insurance Act. Every person has an insurable interest who is interested in marine adventure. We have already seen what a marine adventure is. A person is interested in marine adventure where he stands in any legal or equitable relation to the adventure or to any insurable property at risk herein, in consequence of which he may benefit. So both risk and benefit by the safety or due arrival of insurable interest, or may be produced by its loss or damage thereto, or by retention thereof, or may incur liability. So this is very important for understanding insurable interest. The loss aspect, liability aspect, the interest aspect will decide whether insurable interest is there or not. Section 8 of Marine Insurance Act, when interest must attach, the assured must be interested in the subject matter at a time of loss, though he need not be interested when the insured is affected. This is very unique for marine insurance, provided that the subject matter is insured, lost or not lost, the assured may recover, although he may acquired his interest upon until after the loss, unless at the time of effecting the contract of insurance, the assured was aware of the loss and the insurer was not. Where the assured has no interest at the time of loss, he cannot acquire interest by any act or election after he is aware of the loss. So this very important section decides who will file the claim. Next important section is section 9, which talks about defensible or contingent interest. A defensible interest is insurable, is also a contingent interest. In particular, where the buyer of goods has insured them, he has an insurable interest, notwithstanding that he might at his election have rejected the goods or have treated them as the at a seller's risk by reason of the latest delay in making delivery or otherwise. Section 10 of the Motor Insurance Act 1963 talks about partial interest. Partial interest of any nature is insurable. Now we'll understand ocean marine insurance and inland marine insurance. When we talk about ocean marine insurance, the losses due to damage to goods in the vessel is at sea, and it provides protection right from when the goods leave the shipper's warehouse until they reach the consignee's warehouse, and here a loss may be total or partial. Under the sue and labor clause, the insured is required to take reasonable steps to preserve and protect the goods. When a ship is destroyed and may cost more to restore than it's worth, the insured abandons it by giving proper notice to the insurer under Section 62 of the Marine Insurance Act 1963. So this is a very important condition. In such cases, the insured can get the full value of the insured ship and the insurer retains the salvage. Now, when we talk about ocean marine insurance, we can classify them into four: cargo, hull, freight, and liability. Let's look at them one by one. The cargo insurance. Cargo insurance is designed to cover the loss or damage of the goods when they are shipped. Insurer covers the loss or damage due to fire, lightning, explosion, storm, cyclone, flood, inundation, earthquake, war, hostile act, capture, seizure, arrest, restraint, detainment, etc. In cargo insurance, the Institute Cargo Clauses, ICC, developed by the International Chamber of Commerce, form part of the marine insurance policy. ICC Clause A has wider coverage, whereas Clause B has certain restrictions, and Clause C has most restrictions. The open policy protects a certain policy period, while the specific policy covers specific goods for a certain voyage. When we talk cargo insurance in terms of cargo, the hull insurance covers damage or loss to a ship and its equipment, both the ship and its equipment. It can be bought for a single journey or all risks during the policy period. Freight insurance protects multiple ships owned by a shipping company, offering broader coverage. Different types of hull insurance exist for different ships, such as cargo ships, dry bulk carrier, and liquid bulk carriers. The next type of insurance is a freight insurance. When we talk about freight insurance, the shipping company can purchase the freight insurance to save itself from financial loss costs to the loss or damage to goods during the transit. However, if the ship's machinery breaks down during the journey, the freight payment will be delayed until the vessel is required, repaired, and operational again. So what does freight insurance does? Freight insurance ensures that the company is compensated for any loss related to the transportation of goods and accounts for any delays caused by the mechanical issues. Thus, every type of ship gets the right protection. And the fourth type of insurance is the liability insurance. Liability insurance helps the ship owner cover the risk of loss caused by the ship to docks and harbors or to any third party, such as passengers or crews, due to the marine perils and fines and penalties imposed on the ship owner. What are the rights of the insurer on payments? Here, the right of subrogation becomes prominent, so also contribution on the payments made to the insured. Where the insurer pays for the total loss, the insurer becomes entitled to take over the insured assets under the right of subrogation. Where the insured is overinsured by double insurance, then each insurer will have to contribute ratably to the loss in proportion to the amount for which he is liable under the insurance policy. Having understood the ocean marine insurance, now let's understand what an inland marine insurance is. Inland marine insurance covers the goods transported over land by rail or road. It provides protection while transporting the goods from the ports to the importer's destination through trucks, trains, buses, and the barges. Inland marine risk became very useful for businesses to minimize the loss when specialized goods are transported on land by trucks, rails, barges, or bus. So having ocean and inland gives a comprehensive marine insurance. New types of risk has emerged under the inland, and that is why it gives a comprehensive risk marine insurance, like the Bailey's customers coverage to protect the damage to the importer's property, damage against the importer's property. Then the builder's risk to protect against the damage to structures and materials used by the builder. Exhibition and fine art coverage to protect the artwork on display, because as the business explosion has happened, the product's area has also increased and hence the coverage. Installation floater to protect against the damage to the goods while loading and unloading and putting it to use. And motor truck cargo coverage to protect the goods while transporting with vehicles on the road. There are different types of marine insurance policies, like the voyage policy, the annual policy, the marriage policy, the floating policies, the blanket policies, the name policies, the special declaration policies, the Indian coast ports policy, the inland vessel policy, the free onboard policy, the marine cum erections policy. Let's look at them one by one. What is a voyage policy? A voyage policy covers the risk to the cargo originating from the port of departure until the destination. It covers all the in-between dangers and risks when the ship halts at the intermediate ports. When such a policy is issued for a definite period of time, it is called a voyage and time policy. Next, we look at the annual policy. Annual policy is preferred when the insured is sure about the dispatch of goods throughout the year, that is for a particular year. In such a case, the insured collects the advance premium and adjusts it against the voyages done at the end of the year. When we talk in terms of the valued policies, these policies need to specify the value of the loss to be compensated. When the value of loss is fixed and remains the same throughout the policy term, we call it as the valued policy. Floating policies are preferred by large exporters who want to buy marine insurance policies for a large sum to cover all the shipments during the year. So in a floating insurance policy, general terms are incorporated, but the name or names of the ship or ships and other particulars are defined in subsequent declaration after the dispatch of the sea shipment. All the consignments made regarding the floating policy and the value of such consignment must be honestly stated in the declarations. When we talk in terms of the blanket policy, it is issued for a certain amount and the premium has to be paid for the entire sum assured to cover the risk within the particular time and place. The insurer will return the excess premium amount after adjusting the actual premium. However, if the shipments are more than the predetermined estimate, then the insurer will have to pay the additional premium to the insurer. When we talk about the name policy, the name of the ship and the description of the insured cargo must be mentioned. In special declaration policy, it is issued to exporters with a large shipment turnover and the insured must make declarations similar to a floating policy. We also have the Indian Coast Ports policy, specifically meant to cover risk in the transfer of cargo on sea or ocean with the self-propelled iron or steel vessels, whereas the inland vessel policy is issued to transport cargo on rivers and canals. A free onboard policy, also called a buyer's policy, as the importer wants to cover the risk of transporting cargo from the exporter's warehouse to the importer's warehouse, whereas a marine cum erection policy, in addition to marine risk, other risks such as storage, erection, and testing risk are also covered. When we talk about marine insurance, it's not that you have all sort of inclusions. There are certain common inclusions like sinking, stranding of ship, loss due to fire, explosion, battery, damage to goods while loading, unloading, natural calamities like earthquakes, storms, cyclones, floods, tsunamis, loss due to collision, hijack, pirates, thieves, jettison. At the same time, there are exclusions like loss due to a willful act, poor quality of packaging the cargo, loss due to war, strikes, riots, natural wear and tear of the cargo. Certain parties have insurable interest in marine insurance like ship owner, the cargo owner, master running member of the crew of a ship, lender of money on bottomry or spondacea, person advancing the freight, assured who has affected the charges of any insurance. Then, who is to follow the correct and timely procedure to lodge? Now, the claim becomes very important. The insurer should follow the correct and timely procedure to lodge a marine insurance claim. So with this, we have covered some basic details about marine insurance, and now we'll understand similarly the basic details about fire insurance. What does a fire insurance cover? In fire insurance, the risk covered is a loss or damage due to the fire. Fire insurance covers risk against properties such as house, office, shops, places of worship, etc. It can also cover risk against machinery, plants, equipments, raw materials, finished goods also. When we refer Section 2, Subclause 6A of the Insurance Act 1938, fire insurance business means the business of affecting otherwise than incidentally to some other class of insurance business, contracts of insurance against loss, violence related to fire, or other occurrences customarily included amongst the risk insured against the fire insurance policy. So the main damage is due to the fire. Now, what are the elements of and principles of fire insurance? Fire insurance makes use of certain elements and principles common to all insurance contracts. That is, it must possess all essential elements of Section 10 of the Indian Contract Act 1872. The object of fire insurance is not the physical property, but to compensate the assured for the loss arising from the accident, which is fire. Insured must have an insurable interest in the insured property at the time of issuance of the policy and the time of loss. Insured will get compensated only to the extent of actual loss. He cannot make profit. The causa proxima is a very important clause. Insurer is liable if the loss has happened due to the proximate cause and not the remotest cause. Loss mitigation principle also applies. The insurer should try its best to minimize the loss, else the insurance company can reject the claim or reduce the claim. Average clause is also very important. Its assessed claim is reduced in proportion to the underinsurance. Only for what you have insured, you will get the claim settled. There can be different perils insured in fire insurance, like the fire, lightning, explosion, implosion, riot, strike, malicious and terrorist damage, impact damage, aircraft damage, storm, tempest, cyclone, typhoon, hurricane, tornado, flood, and inundation. Some more perils included are earthquake and shock, subsidence and landslide, including rock slide, bursting and overflowing of water tanks, apparatus and pipes, missile testing operations, leakages from automatic sprinkler installation, and even the bushfire. Who can buy a fire insurance policy? Any person, firm or institution that has an insurable interest in the property and may suffer financial loss due to an outbreak of fire can buy a fire insurance policy. For example, owners of movable and immovable properties, institutions such as the educational and research institutes, service providers such as hotels, hospitals, banks, shopkeepers, offices, manufacturing firms, and even transporters. What are the properties covered under fire insurance? Properties covered are building, including plinth and foundations, plant and machinery, equipment and accessories, stocks, including raw materials, material in process, finished goods used and processed by the businesses. Even specific items such as bullion, unset, precious stones, curios, works of art, manuscripts, plans, drawings, securities, obligations or documents, stamps, coins or paper money, checks, books of accounts, computer system records and exclusives are included. Other mobile and properties proposed by the prospect and accepted by the insurer are also covered under the fire insurance. Now, there are standard fire policies which are issued in various forms, but the term is always 12 months, unlike the life insurance policies which are issued for a longer period. The premium is based on the type of occupancy of the insured assets, that is residential or commercial. Additional premium, add-on cover such as removal of debris, loss, rent for forest fire, etc. specifically charge for more coverage. There are certain standard exclusions like discounts provided for no claims, past history and fire protection facilities by insured, loss, destructions, or damage caused by war, loss, destruction, or damage directly or indirectly caused due to ionizing radiations or contamination by radioactive or nuclear waste or pollution. Even loss, destruction, or damage caused by terrorist activities, loss, destruction, or damage directly or indirectly caused due to earthquake, volcanic eruption, other convulsions of nature, loss, destruction, or damage due to electrical machine arising from overrunning, excessive pressure, short-circuiting, self-heating, or nuclear are in the standard exclusions. What are the different types of fire policy? Specific policy, valued, average, floating, restatement, consequential loss, comprehensive policy. Let's look at them one by one. What's the specific policy? The insured will get the claim only up to the sum assured specified in the policy, even though the actual value of the insured property may be higher than the specified value. In case of valued policy, the sum assured is based on the value declared by the insured, especially in the case of certain properties like artwork, antiques, etc., whose value is not easy to ascertain at any point in time. In average policy, the assessed claim is reduced in proportion to the underinsurance and the insured is required to bear the loss for underinsurance. In case of floating policy, this policy is useful for businesses maintaining fluctuating stocks. The insured can buy coverage for the total value of the stock based on his declaration. In reinstatement policy, this policy is useful for replacing an old and destroyed asset with a new asset. The insured will pay for the reconstruction of property rather than paying compensation for the loss suffered due to destruction. So this, in fact, benefits the individual or the business who can get the previous asset, what it was doing it for before and after. Also, it will continue to do. In consequential loss policy, this policy helps businesses lodge a claim for loss in sales due to the fire outbreak. In comprehensive policy, it covers the risk against a fire and other perils such as burglary, interruption in business, loss, net profits, loss of net profits, and other consequences of fire. How is the sum insured fixed? Fixing sum insured is very important. So one has to consider the actual value of the property, not its higher or lower. Value of the land should be excluded as the land is not damaged by the peril. If more than world building is insured, then the block-wise value, including the cost of floors, walls, roofs, false roofs, ceilings, plants, and machinery, stocks, and other equipment must be included to get a comprehensive policy. If the property value increases due to certain factors, such as foreign exchange rates, development in the area, or increased demand for the property, then the insurer should pay the proportionate premium for the increase in value. What's the fire claim procedure? The insurer should follow the correct and timely procedure to lodge a fire claim.